Well, the title of this message is The Greatest Gift from Man to God. And if you would, turn to Romans chapter 12, beginning in verse 1. As you're turning there, understand this, that Christmas is the holiday when peace on earth and goodwill toward men is just one more present away, isn't it? While we sing about peace on earth, the fact is that we find very little peace due to the fact that we're loaded down with so much stress. This time of year is very stressful on us. You see, Christmas is that time of year when we become overly anxious about finding that right gift for that right person. As a matter of fact, the results of one survey conducted revealed that more than 30% of consumers get stressed just at the mere thought of hitting shops at Christmas. Just the mere thought of heading out to go shopping brings stress. The same survey revealed that 61% of those who say they worry, they're worried because they're thinking that people won't like what they've bought them. So not only are they stressed about the pre-shopping or the pre-gift buying, they're worried about going out into the shops and finding that gift. Then they worry, 61% of them at least, worry that what they did finally buy, it's not going to please the one they shopped for. Well, this morning, we find ourselves in the middle of a three-part Christmas message called The Greatest Gift. Last week, we unwrapped The Greatest Gift from God to mankind. Next week, we're going to unwrap The Greatest Gift from man to mankind, but this morning, we're focusing on and unwrapping The Greatest Gift from man to God. Well, last week, we developed the idea that you must be an infinite being to give the greatest gift of all time. Why? Well, because the greatest gift brings everlasting life, infinite love, and eternal liberty. And only God Almighty could give such a gift. Thankfully, He has. God has given us the greatest gift, His only begotten Son. That's Jesus Christ, the Savior. Well, because Jesus paid for our sins upon the cross, He offers us the greatest gift, which provides for us everlasting life, infinite love, and eternal liberty. Last week, we also focused on the need to receive the greatest gift, and that being Jesus Christ. We need to receive that forgiveness that He provides for us. Well, for the next 2 weeks, we're going to focus on giving gifts. The first study was on receiving the greatest gift. The next 2 weeks, today and next week, will be focused on giving the greatest gifts. This morning, as we talk about the greatest gift that man can give God, we must develop our point in its proper context. We've already labeled Jesus Christ as the greatest gift that's ever been given. And so how, too, can we give the greatest gift? Well, from God to man, Jesus Christ is the greatest gift. But from man to God, the context being the greatest gift that a human, a mortal, a finite being, the greatest gift that a man can give to God. So we're narrowing the context to the greatest gift that a man can give to God. Well, this morning we're going to use one word to make all three points. So hopefully this won't be confusing, but I'll try to explain as best as possible. In our first point, we will use present or present as in presentation. In our second point, we're going to use the word present to mean gift. And in our third and final point, we will use the word present as in present tense. So let's jump into that very first point, present as in present or presentation. If you would look at Romans chapter 12, verse 1, we're going to be reading that here in a moment. But as you're turning there, presenting your present can be as important as the gift itself. You see, a present that is not presented is a gift that's not given. Now, have you ever purchased a Christmas present or some other kind of present for somebody and you never got around to giving it to them? Last year, on my birthday, I received a birthday card that had been purchased for me the year before, because the person that had purchased it for me the year before had not yet given it to me until the very next year. It had not been presented until a year later. He never presented the present. But check out here in Romans 12:1 what Paul says about the importance of gift presentation. Romans 12:1 says, "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service." Now, this word present or presentation, we're talking about an act of presenting something or the state of being presented. In context, the word means to place a person or thing at one's disposal. Not the disposal that's in your sink. This is typically what we think of when we talk about disposals. To better understand this word disposal, it means to place ourselves, or speaks of the word disposition. Disposal, disposition, again, these aren't words that we normally use. So what does disposition mean? Disposition speaks of the transferring of something valuable to another by sale or by gift. When we present ourselves to God, we're giving ourselves as a gift to God. And what Paul is saying here in Romans chapter 12, he says that we are to present our bodies. We are to transfer our members by way of a gift to God. We make ourselves the present. And so as we present our members to God, we become the present. And that's our second point. Present or gift. You see, in the attempt to provide a present or to give a gift, some people are harder to shop for than others, aren't they? We instantly think of that one person that's hardest to shop for. The survey that I referenced earlier reveals that 62% of people between the ages of 16 to 24 cited their father as the one that's hardest to shop for to buy Christmas presents. Well, if dad is the hardest one to shop for a Christmas present, if our father can be the hardest one to shop for, how much more is our heavenly father a hard one to shop for? Consider this. You can't just pop down to the local mall. You can't just go into Bed Bath & Beyond and find the gift that's going to please God. I mean, God doesn't want anything. He has no need of anything. I'm pretty sure that God doesn't have his shopping cart wish list on eBay either. You can't just dial up and figure out what's God been looking at on eBay. So what present can we give to God? What present can we offer to God? And the answer is simple. We offer him ourselves. We give him ourselves. We become the present. Check out what Paul wrote in Romans chapter 12, verse 1 again. He says, "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service." You see, Paul is pointing out that we are the present. Now, how is it that we can be the greatest gift from man to God? While some of us might think that we are the greatest gift to the world, we have to wonder for a moment, does God really want us? Does God really see me as a great gift? Well, understand this. First of all, the answer is yes, but how? How is it that I can be such a great gift that God is looking at me going, "Man, I sure would like a bungee"? It's only as a result of the mercies of God. You see, Romans chapter 12, 1, the context of it is Romans chapter 11. And when you consider what Romans chapter 11 speaks of, Paul is pointing out that the greatest gift from God to man is Jesus Christ. And we must receive that greatest gift. We must receive Jesus Christ as our personal Lord and Savior. But at that point in time, what's going on is we're doing a gift exchange with God. Because as God is giving us his only begotten Son, the greatest gift from God to man, we also are giving God the gift of ourselves. and that's all by the mercy of God. At the same time that we receive God's greatest gift, we also give God the greatest gift that we could ever give Him, and that is ourself. When we trust in Christ for salvation, we become the present by the mercy of God. Now that sounds neat, doesn't it? A gift exchange with God. He gives us Jesus Christ, we give Him back ourselves. But what does that really look like in everyday life? It's a neat concept, but how does that play out in everyday living? Well, practically speaking, let's think about it like this. In order to give ourselves as the greatest gift to God, we must start by giving God our will. Before we trusted in Christ for salvation, we were trusting in something else. Think about it like this. We trusted in our own good works to get us to heaven. We believed that we were good enough people. Well, I'm a pretty good person. God's going to accept me. We were trusting in what we could do to be acceptable to God. Maybe we were trusting in a relationship that a relative had with God. Well, my mom was a Christian, and so I'm good with God because my mom's relationship with Jesus. Or my grandpa was a preacher. So therefore, because grandpa was a preacher, I mean, he's not going to keep me out of heaven. Or maybe we were a non-theist or an atheist, someone who just rejected the whole concept of God. Maybe we were trusting in the fact that God wouldn't be there to judge us in the last day. Whatever it was, our will was contrary to God's will. Now we need to learn how to give up our free will for God's perfect will. Well, regarding the need to give up our will to God, consider this. What does life look like from the perspective of a present? Think back to your childhood. Might be harder for some than others here this morning. But think back to your childhood. Think back to that very first action doll that you got, that very first action figure or the Barbie doll. You got that Barbie doll. You unwrapped it, and there it was, and you were excited. You opened up that G.I. Joe doll, and you were stoked out of your mind. But imagine that you are that doll now. Imagine you are that action figure, and there you are in your box, and your new owner is taking you out of the box and lifting you up and so excited, and now you're just kind of being bounced up and down. And what do they do next? They want to see how you move. So they take your arms and they move your arms up, and this is all your arms can do, you know, but they're going up and down, and then you're that G.I. Joe action doll, and so there's a button in your back that promotes and brings out that kung fu grip, right? And so, bam, there goes the little button in your back, and hi-yah, you know, you're kung fu gripping. You're the present. You're the doll. You're the action figure. And now you're animated. You were strapped into this little box, but now you're animated. Your arms are moving up and down. The kung fu grip is in action. Now imagine. Your owner puts you down. And they move on to open up the next gift. And it's a remote car, and he's driving the car around now, and you're that action figure. You're that Barbie doll just laying there on the floor. What do you do at that point in time? Nothing. You do nothing. You lay there. Because you're an action figure. You're a Barbie doll. You have no will of your own. You're just laying there. He comes back and plays with you later. She comes back and plays with you later. Then it's dinner time. You're put back down on the ground. They go off to eat. What do? Nothing. Because your owner isn't there to animate you. Now, I wish that I could be more like that action figure. Not just because of the kung fu grip, but because I wish I could live my life in complete submission to God's will. But no, I'm more like the Christmas puppy. Anybody here ever gotten the Christmas puppy? You break open the box, and there it is, this little puppy, and it's your Christmas present, and you're so happy. Now, if I'm the Christmas puppy, I'm being pulled out of this box, and I'm licking the face of my new owner, happy to be out of this box, and they put me down and run around, and I'm the present, all of a sudden, the present leaves the present on the living room floor. That wasn't part of the plan, was it? That wasn't part of the plan, but that puppy has a free will, doesn't it? That puppy can go over there and chew up the slippers and scratch up the linoleum and do all the things that you wish it wouldn't have done. Seemed like a great gift at the time, but now you have to get the pooper scooper out because the puppy has a will of its own. We too have a will of our own. The best thing we can do with our own free will is to give it right back to God. Say, God, I don't want it. I don't want it because I leave a mess. You have to clean up after me. The best thing that we can do with our free will is to just give it back to God. Why? Warren Wiersbe points this out. He says, your mind controls your body, and your will controls your mind. Control your will, and your mind is controlled. Control your mind, and your body is controlled. Our will? Well, we know what our will gets us, don't we? Trouble, pain, sorrow, sickness, sin. Our will leads us down a path that we make wrong decisions. We don't walk in God's will. The best thing that we can do, if you want to be the greatest gift from you to God, you must start by giving Him your will, committing your will into His hand. Wiersbe goes on to write, it's only when we yield the will to God that His power can take over and give us the willpower that we need to be victorious Christians. Only when we yield our will to God. Now, as we live our life, the best thing we can do is refuse to do anything apart from God's empowerment. The best thing that we can do is commit our will to God. Our mind will follow, and our body will then follow after that. As we give God our will, we will naturally follow suit by presenting our body as the present. But how should we present our bodies? Paul goes into a little more detail there in Romans 12, verse 1. He says that we should present our bodies a living sacrifice. Now, those two words together, it's an interesting combination. Let's talk about that word sacrifice. This word speaks of an offering. In its context, we're talking about a willingness to offer yourself, to place yourself, your will, your desires on the altar of God to be killed. That's what it means to be a sacrifice in this context. And so when we talk about a living sacrifice, we're talking about this concept of putting yourself, your self-centeredness, your self-will, your desire for self, putting it right there on the altar. And allowing it to die to self. You end up with this concept of a living person who continues to offer himself or herself up at every moment of every day, killing self-desire for God's desires, killing self-will for God's will. It speaks of a person that's refusing to live for self, dying to self, picking up the cross daily, and following after Jesus. Paul said, it's not I who live, but Christ who lives within me. Not allowing our will to override God's. That's what it means to be a living sacrifice. When we offer our body as a living sacrifice, we are submitting our members to God and to His will. We are submitting our body to God's will. We're saying, I don't want to use my body apart from the will of God. I commit my body to the glory of God. Like the Barbie doll or like the G.I. Joe action figure, I don't want to do anything apart from God picking me up and moving my arms around and showing me what to do. And if God's not going to use me, I'll sit there and wait till He does. Paul wrote this. He encouraged us, do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. We present our bodies as instruments of righteousness when we become a living sacrifice. But Paul goes on in Romans chapter 12, verse 1, and he says that we are to present our bodies as living sacrifices, holy and acceptable to God. Holy and acceptable. Let's talk about this word holy. What does this word holy mean? Well, directly, it means a saint. It means that we're to present ourselves as saints to God. It speaks of people whose services God employs. When you present yourself as the present, you make yourself available to serve God. You make yourself available to God, to His employment. And as you begin to serve God and be used by God, when you present your body and you say, I don't want to do anything apart from God's will, God, you employ me, you use me, you use me to do your work, that's a saint. And I like that concept. I think that I might start putting it on my business card, Saint Bungie. Saint Bungie. I like that. But where I'm full-time ministry, many of you are in the secular workforce. You might think, well, yeah, a full-time minister can be a saint. But can I? I work at Dell. Yeah, it doesn't matter where you're employed. It matters who's employing you. Are you at Dell because God's called you to Dell? Or are you at Dell because you called yourself to Dell? The job that you have, wherever it may be, did God employ you there? Or did you place yourself there because of selfish desires? When we commit ourselves into the service of God and we allow Him to direct us to where He would have us to be and to be used by God wherever He places us, in whatever way He wants to use us, like that action figure who has given up its will, has no will, and only moves by the power of God. That's how we need to be. That's what a saint is. The person whose services God employs, whether it's a full-time minister or a lay person. But holy, we understand a little bit more about what it means to be holy, but what about acceptable? This word acceptable means well-pleasing. Now, the survey that I referenced earlier in this study, it also revealed that 60% of those questions said that they have at some time had the horrible experience of buying a gift for someone and seeing disappointment on their faces when they opened it. Anybody ever have that experience? You get this gift, you think it's the greatest thing. They open it and it's just like, oh, thanks. That's nice. They don't appreciate it. You can tell. You can see it in their face. They don't like it. It's disappointing. But the greatest thing about offering us to God is that He's never disappointed. He's never disappointed with anybody who will say, God, I want to give you myself. It's not like He opens up the bungee packages and goes, No, I don't think I'm going to have this one. Throw them back. No, He doesn't. And when you give yourself to God, when I give myself to God, He opens up that package and says, That's awesome. That's a great gift. That is acceptable. That is well-pleasing. We are well-pleasing to God when we give ourselves to Him. When you give yourself to God, He is well-pleased and never disappointed. God is well-pleased with the one who will give up their own will for His will. God is well-pleased with the one who will become a living sacrifice. And God is well-pleased with the one who will live as a saint, serving Him, employed by Him. So we are to present our bodies as a present. We become the greatest gift that we can give to God. But when? When should we become the greatest gift? When should we present ourselves as the present? There are some of us who became Christians years ago. Maybe months ago. Maybe weeks ago. Are you continuing to live as that present? Are you continuing to be that greatest gift for God? Others of us in here maybe have never presented themselves as the present. They've never received Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior, and so they've never had that gift exchange where they've then given themselves to God. When should we present ourselves as the present? And Romans 12:1 says, presently. Today, present. And that's our third point. We need to present ourselves as the present, presently, in the present tense. Look at Romans 12:1. There's three verbs in this verse. It says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Three verbs in this verse. Two of them are in the present tense. The third is in the aorist tense. The aorist tense suggests no time frame at all, but just suggests there was a point in time that it happened, and it's continued to happen presently ever since then, and will continue to happen in the present until the end of time. And so the verse is in the present tense. You could rewrite this verse to mean, today present your bodies as a living sacrifice. Today present yourself as the present. Today become the greatest gift for God. Present your body as a present presently. Warren Wiersbe points out that the verb present, it means once and for all. And I'm sorry, that's present. Warren Wiersbe points out that the verb present means once and for all. This begins with a commitment to God. We commit our will, we commit our mind, we commit our body to God as the greatest gift, and then we never, ever take it back. As Christians, there should be no Indian givers. We shouldn't seek to take our gift back. When we give ourselves to God as the greatest gift, we shouldn't try to take it back. Now, have you ever had somebody, they gave you a Christmas gift, and then they turned around and said, well, you know, I got that for you, but I'd really like that back now. Do you mind giving me that gift back? Has anybody ever done that to you? I hope not. I mean, that would be just horrible. You've got this gift, you're totally stoked about it, and they're just like, you know, you're so stoked about that. It is a really good gift, and I just kind of want that for myself. So can you give them that? No, don't do that. If you give a gift away, just give it and just let go of it. It's no longer yours. It's been given. But don't we do this all the time as Christians? With ourselves as the gift to God? God comes along and says, here's Jesus, take him. Receive this forgiveness. It's paid for. It's done. He never takes it back. But we in turn say, great, I'll receive that, and now I'm going to give myself to you. Well, you know, except for this Thursday, because there's going to be like a after-hours happy hour with the gang at work, and, you know, I really like to go and do my thing then. So I like to be a Christian all the other days. Well, you know, except for Wednesday, because we also do a happy hour then too, and we just kind of party it up, you know. So every day I'm a Christian except well, you know, okay, so I'll give you Wednesdays and Sundays, God. But you know what? Every third Sunday, we kind of do a lake thing. And so you mind if I just, you know, take off every third? And actually, every first Sunday, too, we kind of do a... Don't we do this? We start looking for those times that we can be Christians and non-Christians. What is sin? Sin, these are those moments when we attempt to take the gift back from God. Sin is when we say, not thy will, God, but my will be done. Not your will for my life anymore, God. My will for my life. I'm taking my gift back. And so we think of the audacity of the person who would say, I want my gift back, and yet we do it every day. Christians every day attempt to take that gift back, the gift of themselves. No, when we present ourselves to God as a present, we need to make a commitment to continue to be that greatest gift forever and ever. This verb present conveys the idea of presenting your body as a present at every moment of every day for the rest of your life. As you exist moment by moment, commit yourself to being the greatest gift to God. The cool thing about this is when we do this, when we commit moment by moment to being the greatest gift from us to God, every day becomes Christmas. Every minute is Christ's festival. Every second becomes an act of worship when we commit ourselves to being the greatest gift from us to God. Now, you might think that this is impossible. It sounds impossible, doesn't it? How could we ever live our lives in this way? How could we ever be the greatest gift for God at every point in time? Because there's so many things that are pulling me in all these different directions. How is it that I can be the greatest gift every moment, every second of every day? Doesn't seem possible. I would suggest this. Not only is it possible, but it's the most reasonable thing that we can do. Romans 12:1 says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Paul tells us that presenting ourselves as a present at every moment in the present tense is reasonable. Or, in other words, it makes good logical sense. It makes good logical sense to live your life moment by moment as a gift to God. You might conclude that to live according to our own will would be the most illogical thing that we could do. To live according to our own will is unreasonable. Now, we all want a life that makes sense, don't we? When things don't make sense in our life, we see that our life is out of control. We see that there's problems. We see that there needs to be order brought to our lives. Because we all want our life to make sense. We don't want a life that's confusing. But confusion comes from a lack of logic. Confusion comes from a life that's unreasonable. And if our life has become illogical, and we try to bring some kind of sense to it, apart from the most reasonable thing that we can do, then it's only going to become more confusing. If we're trying to live our life apart from living as the greatest gift that we can give to God, then our life is unreasonable, therefore illogical, therefore confusing. If we would just present ourselves as the present to God at every moment in the present, our life would be reasonable. Our life would make sense. If your life has become just confusing, my question to you is this. Have you taken your will back? Are you no longer on the altar, a living sacrifice? Are you trying to again walk in the power of your own strength and your own intellect to accomplish things that you know that God needs to accomplish in you? We can't take the gift back. We have to continue to commit, to submit, to put our lives on the altar and allow God to animate us. Allow God, allow His Holy Spirit to come in and show us where we should go and what we should do. That's what it means to be the greatest gift from man to God. But you see, some of us as Christians, we've given a half a gift. We've given a third of a gift. Think about this. When you're giving a gift this Christmas, husbands, if you've bought a necklace for your wife, are you going to give her half the necklace? Like this half, you know? Won't work. It doesn't make sense to give half of a necklace, doesn't it? Maybe wives are going to get their husbands a hat. Going to get them a third of a hat. Slightest wind will blow it right off your head. It doesn't work. You know, a third of a hat just it doesn't sit on there right. You don't give half a necklace. You don't give a third of a hat. You need to give the whole hat. You need to give the full necklace. Give the whole gift. But when we give ourselves to God, do we give the whole thing? Do we give all of us? Typically, we don't. Typically, there's something we're holding on to. Well, God, I want to follow you, but I can't let go of this. And so I'll give you everything else. Everything else is yours, God, except this. That's not a gift. That's not a gift. To give the greatest gift, to give yourself to God, you have to give all of you to God. Hymnist Frances Ridley Havergal grasped this concept, and so she wrote the following lyrics. She writes, "Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to Thee. Take my moments and my days. Let them flow in ceaseless praise. Take my hands and let them move at the impulse of Thy love. Take my feet and let them be swift and beautiful for Thee. Take my voice and let me sing always only for my King. Take my lips and let them be filled with messages from Thee. Take my silver and my gold, not a mite would I withhold? Take my intellect, and use every power as thou shalt choose. Take my will, and make it thine. It shall be no longer mine. Take my heart, it is thine own. It shall be thy royal throne. Take my love, my Lord. I pour at thy feet its treasure store. Take myself, and I will be ever only all for thee. I think she really grasped what it means to give herself as the greatest gift to God. Have we? Could we sing this song this morning and mean it? Take all of me, God. Take every bit of me. I hold nothing back. You have all of my finances. You have all of my love. You have all of my family. You have all of my material goods. God, you have everything. Show me what you want me to do with it now. Could you really sing that this morning and mean it to God? My encouragement for you, Christian, is this. Give it all to God. Give it all. I don't mean that you need to run out and give your truck away this morning or your car away this morning. I don't mean that you need to write a check with everything in your bank account and put it in the tithe box back there. It's not what I mean. I mean in your heart this morning, purpose in your life, that it all belongs to God, that none of it is yours. Not your will, not your stuff, not your family. It all belongs to God. And then see how you can become God's steward of His stuff. Whatever part of you that you're holding back from God, give it up this morning. Give it all to God. You are the greatest gift that you could ever give to God. But God wants all of you. He doesn't want some of you. And He wants all of you all of the time. Not all of you some of the time. And when you will commit yourself to be a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable, looking to God for every decision, I think if we would do this, our life would look a whole lot different. Because there would be less to clean up off the living room floor. But maybe this morning you have never given yourself to God. You've never committed yourself. You've never received the forgiveness of your sins from Jesus Christ. You've never received the greatest gift that God has for you. And so you've never taken part in that gift exchange. You've not received from God His forgiveness. And you've not given to God your life, the greatest gift. I'd like to give you that opportunity this morning. So let's bow our heads and have a word of prayer. Lord Jesus,